On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot, and you listen to Redskin Talk.
Mr. Case Keenum, can we borrow you for a moment?
Hey, what up, everybody?
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody?
This is Landon Collins with Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Hope you're doing great. Want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the same thing. All right, this is a very cool podcast coming your way. I sat down with Kime, with Pete, and with Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post. We all ran through our 53-man roster projections. Hopefully, I did my math right. We tried to have some checks and balances just in case, you know, my math got skewed, but I think we did well. You guys are really going to enjoy that. Everybody gets so worked up about the cuts that it's hard to think. A lot of this really comes down to maybe two or three players. Obviously, the Skins play the Ravens Thursday night at FedEx, 7:30. Coverage starts on NBC Sports Washington at 6:30. We're also going to have that predict the game, which is really cool. And if anybody's doing it, hit me up. I'm curious how that actually goes because I'm not allowed to play. Or I guess I could play, but I'm not allowed to win, which kind of what's the point of playing. But you guys can win. It's $1,000 every quarter. I would be on that if I was watching that game. Couple of housekeeping items. The shirts. The trial run for the shirts is over, I've been informed. They should get shipped out by... Everybody should get their shirts before week one, before the Eagles game. Once you get your shirts, hit us up. Either hit me on Twitter or Instagram at JPFinleyMBCS or at Redskins Talk Pod on either Twitter or Instagram. Send us pictures of you and your shirt, and all of them will go up on the Instagram, and we'll invite everybody to rate your look on a scale of 1 to 10. So buckle up. If you don't want to be rated, include that in the note or something, and we'll try to come up with a nicer way. But usually this is funny. This isn't like hot or not from the early 2000s or something. That's the shirts. Here's my idea. I'm going to talk to the t-shirt people in late September, or at some point in September. I want to make the Mitch shirt available. If you're a devout listener, you know that there are probably 6 Mitch shirts in print in the world. So I'm thinking maybe we sell... maybe we make like another 30 or 50 available if people want them. I think that would be pretty fun. And obviously those shirts were when Mitch was in Oktoberfest. So October's coming. Everybody can celebrate the big man in all of his glory with the shirt. Lastly, I want to let you guys know on September 14th, we are doing an event at Old Town Pet Resort in North Bethesda. I'm going to be there early in the morning, like 11 to noon. We're going to be giving away tickets to the Cowboys game the next day. Bring your dogs. It's a pet resort. They got all sorts of stuff for pets. You can go, the dogs can go swimming, I guess, which is pretty dope. And they can just play. It should be a lot of fun. I think there's going to be some food. Get more information, otpets.com/propets. All right, enough of that. Here comes the 53-man roster breakdown. All right, this is time for the 53-man roster breakdown. I'm here, Pete's here. We also have Kareem Copeland from the Washington Post. Cope, what's up, dude?
What up, though? Thanks for having me.
Of course. And then the irreplaceable Mr. John Kime. You can find him on the John Kime Report, ESPN, the four-letter leader. What's up, dude?
What up, man?
Nothing.
Looks fresh in the all black.
He does. He does. You got to get the player's nickname.
I need
nickname
the name on
back.
The back. Yeah.
What would it be?
Brisket Man? Brisket boy?
Smoker. Well, weren't you a speed baseball player?
Could it just be smoke? Smoke. I'm good with that. I like that.
Smoke show?
I like that.
Not to go too racist. The one that
Tony Stewart's nickname on like the NASCAR circuit was just Smoke because he was smoking dudes.
That's above my pay.
Is that a deep cut there?
We had just deep in the crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking for 40 seconds.
We know those crickets chirping.
All right, here is the format. We all know the 90-man roster. We certainly know like 86 of these dudes anyways. There's been a little bit of turnover. They got to get to 53. If I had to guess, the four of us can name 51 of these people, and it's going to come down to a couple of unique positions. And so this is abundantly clear. We're recording this before the fourth and final preseason game. So obviously performance can change some of this, or injuries can certainly change some of this. So let's have that caveat up front. I am just going to go through name positions, how many guys I think are making it, and where there are disagreements, speak up. Sound good?
Sounds agreed. Good.
Sure.
All right. I think QB is easy. I think all three guys make it.
No IR for Colt.
Haskins, Keenum, Colt. Yeah. I don't think IR is happening. No, he's moving around too well to... Go ahead.
It's a strength thing. He's got a strength in the leg, so I think if it was a more pain issue, I think that might be more of an option, but it's a strength thing. Give it a couple weeks.
And okay. Go. What's the cutoff, though? Like, if it was 4 weeks, would they put him on? Like, is there any number of weeks where it'd be like, this is too much of a weight, we could use this spot?
We'll get to this. I don't think they're in any real roster crunch, because I don't think there are a lot of guys forcing their way on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think if they really needed a spot, it might look different, but... We'll kind of get, or at least my opinion on this, when we get to the defensive side of the ball, the spots where there's usually a lot of guys fighting for a last spot, I'm not sure there are.
I agree.
So that's why I think they just go with three quarterbacks.
Sure.
Yep.
Running back, I got four. Peterson, Geis, Thompson, and then I'm sticking with Perine. There is some this isn't concrete, though, and I'll say a couple things. I think Sean Wilson, before the injury, was actually really tracking towards maybe cracking a roster spot because of what he could do for them on special teams. He's hurt now, so that's irrelevant. Byron Marshall returns kicks for them, and he's a different type of running back. He's more of a Thompson backup than he is AP, Geis, Perine. All of that said, you know, gun to my head, who am I picking? I'm picking those four, Peterson, Geis, Perine, Thompson.
Those are my four, gun to my head, but I do think that there's... there's a very conscious thought wave that those first three guys, not Chris Thompson, are so similar that maybe you need somebody that's a little bit different, that's can be more involved in the pass game, that can be more, and I know that's what Chris is, but you know, it's one out of the four guys, somebody that's a little bit more versatile. None of those three guys are returning kicks, you know, that's obviously
none of those three guys are playing specials.
Yeah. Yes,
you're not putting AP, Geis, or Thompson on special teams.
Well, Chris can return kicks if you need him to, and plus the kickoffs,
especially kickoffs.
I'm not keeping a guy just for kickoffs because for that reason. I think the other thing,
sorry, B. Mitch.
Yeah, he can return
points. He was a punt guy.
So, yeah. But to your point about, like, last year we had the same discussion about this, and they went with all these guys, too, last year.
Well, they went with five, but then moved Marshall immediately to IR.
Correct, but you knew they were moving into IR, right. But they did keep with that. So that's where it's like, that's where it leads to some of that hesitation for that. But it's because, like, you'd like to have a backup for Thompson. Can you put one on practice squad that you have that's like that? And I don't know about that. And then the one thing that helps them is that fourth guy's not going to be active.
Right.
Anyway, so you're only going to keep three active. And are you going to keep Peterson inactive on a game day?
Never.
Never.
So, and I'd like to see that conversation if you try.
Oh, my goodness. But,
so that way, that's why I say I think you may.
I mean, Perine was only active five times last year.
Right.
You know?
And I think you may, that's why it may be him. But I think
but he needs more opportunities, though.
The other thing that
helps. He's had a splendid offseason.
And the last thing I say, the other thing that helps is that Geis can serve as a pass catcher, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Not to the level of CT, but he can help him there. So if you have to get through a game like that. But that is an interesting one because they do offer very different skills. And there's like a couple years ago, you got caught without anybody who could replace
him. I think it's interesting because we talk about how Jay has his guys, and the Perine versus Marshall feels like two of Jay's running backs that he's had feelings for.
I think we'd all contend
a lot for some reason.
Capri Bibbs was better than Byron Marshall. I've never understood going with Marshall over Bibbs. And that ship is long sailed.
I'm going to
say
either.
Marshall makes it over Perine.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are the chances, and I think this is slim, but we saw it last year, albeit in a convoluted sense, that they go five running backs. I think it's a
very slim
5% chance. I think it's, unless some weird injury happens Thursday night, and then maybe they try the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if we're trying to decide if one of these guys is really worth keeping. I don't think both of them are worth keeping
at
all.
I agree. So we're in agreement on four, with four, three of us saying P. Ryan, Pete saying Briar Marshall.
Yeah.
All right. Tight end, I think there's no battle here. I got three. I got Reed, Davis, Sprinkle. Obviously, the caveat here is Reed's health.
Mm-hmm.
If, depending what I
Jay keeps saying they're confident he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But it depends on what their definition of fine is when that fine happens. And when he's
all bad. Of that. I think it's those three. I think the next one up would be J.P. Holtz. I don't know
I
what
think,
his...
I think the next one up is on somebody else's roster.
Sure, that's fine.
That's the problem. The caveat that I think is that all three of those guys are pass catchers and they need somebody to help block.
And the problem last year.
But the gap between Holtz and Sprinkle, I think, is significant enough that it's hard to legitimize keeping them.
And they actually drafted Sprinkle to be a run blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's the problem that what they've had there is that he's been inconsistent in that area. Mm-hmm. And until you get someone who can actually handle that role, but the other problem is the guys who are the Holtzes and Flanagans, they're not enough of a threat otherwise. And they're not so great at blockers that they're going to be...
I do think Sprinkle had a better pass-catching camp than we've seen out of him. And he had a good catch off Haskins, didn't he, in the first game?
Big 28-yarder.
Yeah.
The boot. And that was, you know, that's... Yeah, so if they can get him to contribute more, that's big.
Even where linebackers have to consider the threat.
Well, I think the other thing, the key for him is, just like that play against Cleveland, is the action of the play. That's going to get him open. He's sure. not a guy who's going to get up there like Jordan Reed and
run past.
Vernon has his speed. Jordan has his quickness. Sprinkle's a big guy. Help him create some separation with the play design. And that play, you saw the run so well that it created an opening for him. And that was a good design and a good job by him.
He's not making the team, but how big is Donald Parham?
Big.
Every time I see him, I'm like, holy.
He'd be interesting practice squad guy.
Does he have eligibility? I don't know enough about Parham.
I feel like he's fresh and new into the NFL, but maybe I'm wrong.
You could certainly be right.
If the Parham family's listening, I'm sorry. Don't know much about
him. I tell you what, he doesn't have a Pro Football Reference page. It's Donald Parham, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
P-A-R-H-A-M?
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got practice squad eligibility.
I think there's some eligibility there. I like him. He's an athletic
freak. Shout out to Kareem for having the roster.
Yeah, I was wondering.
that's exactly why I brought the roster with me.
All right, so we got three at tight end. So is anybody keeping track? We've got 3, 4, 3.
I can keep track.
Which equals 10. We got 10 so far.
Nice.
That's
JP.
About the peak
that's
of my
math,
mathematic
right
abilities.
Yeah, you're out of fingers now.
All right, the next two are hard to figure. So, Kareem, you can pick. You want to start at wideout or you want to start on O-line?
Start at wideout, I suppose.
Okay. Locks. Richardson, Quinn, Sims, McLaurin.
Cam Sims.
I got to start over. Richardson, Quinn, Cam Sims, Terry McLaurin, Kelvin Harmon. And Kelvin Harmon is maybe like a little lock you could pop in college with a credit card. But he's a lock. I think he's making the roster.
Did you
was I the
that?
Only one that was popping locks?
Are we able to do that?
I think we need to take a detour here.
You never... No, I didn't do that either.
Where are you trying to get in college?
Lots of places, Pete. Lots of places.
All the places.
Yeah. Did that screw up like the mag stripe at all? Because you still use that credit card.
Yeah, but like your student ID.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, man. We made it work.
that's making the episode summary.
So that's five wideouts. Any disagreement among those five?
No, I don't think
you
so.
You were reaching for a disagreement there, Cole.
Well, this is my issue with this, and I keep going back and forth, and I still haven't come to a conclusion, is that I think Josh Doctson is a lock unless he's moved.
Sure.
I don't think he... If he's moved, that's one thing.
I agree with
but
that.
But I don't think he's flat-out cut. And you're not keeping seven. So what do we count, five
I
or
think
six?
They might keep seven.
I thought they might keep seven in the last...
So we counted five.
In the last day, I've gone where I don't think they're going to keep seven. So we've got five.
So, all right, if we've got five, and you think Doctson's on this roster to be six, Robert Davis has...
That's my problem.
...put himself in a position where he's really going to be tough to cut him.
Absolutely. And that's why... That's
and I don't think they're going to cut Doctson.
And so that's why I... Now, what I drift back to is, does it come down to Sims or Davis? And Sims had a...
Are we talking Cam Sims?
Yes, Cam. Which I think he had absolutely, and I think he...
He's on.
I think he's on. That's how I feel.
But especially because he had a couple catches in the last game.
This isn't about your feelings, Kareem.
All right. It's my gut.
So you're saying six.
Yes.
And I know who you sat down with this afternoon. So six might have some real juice to it.
Yes, I think six.
Pete, are you at six or seven on wideouts? And let's keep in mind, we're only at 10 through three position groups on the offensive side of the ball.
Doxson's not playing on Thursday, which kind of seems to rule out him just being straight up cut. And I just don't see a team trading for him. And I think he helps at least early. You know what he'll give you.
It's quantifiable. Well, and this could also look different by Philly, right?
Yeah.
But they have to make the roster cuts this week. He could be moved next week.
I think they'll go seven.
If he gets moved.
I think it's Doxson and Davis.
So you're going seven, Doxson and Davis.
Yeah.
Mr. Kime.
See, I've gone back and forth on this one too, and I agree with your rationale. I don't think Doxson sitting out Thursday means he wouldn't be cut.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to be cut either, because there have been times where they've kept guys out in those games and they have cut them.
To that point, it's like, what? They've had 3 years of Josh in the building.
Yeah.
What on earth can he show Thursday night makes a difference for how they felt?
But I also think that, to Kareem's point, you could have gotten rid of him long before this point if you were so sold on some of these other, because they like these young guys.
Sure, yes.
So I can see that, you know, I can see a point this year where Doxson is no longer here. Mm. Because if McLaurin really kind of rises up and it's like we're taking reps away from a guy that we want to see out there, then I can see something. But I think I'm kind of with you with that. If they don't trade him, I think he'll be on there. But I don't think it's quite the lock that I would have thought maybe a couple weeks ago.
So
but I'm with you, though, in your thinking.
So you're at six.
So are you
with
at seven with Davis Davis?
I was hoping that nobody would catch me.
There's few things I do well.
All right, Jamie, go ahead.
And I've had two iterations, and I still have to form mine.
Sure.
So I've been in – there was time where I was at seven because, like, same thing. How do you not put Robert Davis on there? But I think – I think with the knee, you still wonder about that.
Sure. And he missed a couple practices of late.
Right. So I think there's some concern with that. And then if that's the case, can you sneak him over here and put him over here? Now, and so that's one. I think the other interesting guy is Steven Sims.
Sure.
And, but I
positional scarcity helps.
Correct. But I think the other thing, what Jay Gruden said, is still has a ways to go to be able to play.
Right.
Practice.
I'll have a Steven Sims story on MCSportsWatch.com.
Well, what did he say, Pete?
He says he feels a little more pressure. You know, a lot of guys are like, no, this is just another game for him. He said he feels a lot of pressure. I told him that Jay said he's going to feature him a lot more, and Steven said, it's exactly what I want. His son's going to be up there. It's his first time his son's ever watching, and he just knows how big of a deal this is for him to be out there and have a chance. But I think Sims is the practice squad. I think that's where he ends up.
Yeah, so then by process of elimination, it sounds like I'm at six, but I have to double check with what I turned in for ESPN to make sure that's where I was there too. So.
And everybody go.
Listen, I was at seven on my last one that I wrote. That was I think 2 weeks ago, but I've drifted back down to six.
Well, I'm curious. So I'm still at seven. So I'm quite curious where you guys need this roster spot.
Well, and this is where.
But I'm going Davis and Doxson and call it seven. I do not feel strongly on this. I think Jay has talked about how special teams make the difference. If there are health questions with Davis, that's a different entity.
That's the question.
But he is a guy that helps you on special teams. The other part of this that none of us are mentioning, Kareem, your boy, is that Jay Uchesson is a really good special teams player.
Great special teamer.
Cannot catch a lick.
Michigan represent.
I think, yeah.
Cannot catch, and I don't see them keeping him at all, but like, if it's really about specials.
If you want a specialist, then yeah, that's your guy. But
I think one thing that's going to be really interesting to see, and we haven't gotten to do it because of the tailbone injury, is all the talk about McLaurin was as a specialty. A lot of the talk, anyway, about McLaurin was as a special teams
guy.
I
wanted to ask Jay about this.
But now they like him so much as a wideout, I wonder how much they're really going to lean on him.
I think what you'd need is, and that's the beauty of Davis. And again, I think it comes down to their confidence in the knee. Then it's like, can Harmon do anything there? You know, and so you're gonna need a guy like that to do something, because Richardson and Doxson are not special.
Harmon's not a speedster.
He's not. But, you know, he's got size.
He's big. Yeah,
he's got good body control.
He's not a speedster as a receiver, but he can run.
And he's willing to get physical.
So he likes bowling people.
Yeah, so I think that's where you'd have to go. And, like, Cam Sims can do some of that, too.
Sure.
But as a gunner, that's not his body type, per se.
Right.
But that's where Davis helps you. Davis is big and has speed. That's the beauty of him.
Right. Let's do this quickly before we go to O-line. Percentage chance they cut, not trade, cut Josh Doxson.
Zero.
Zero? All right.
Binary Kareem. I'm going to say 10%.
I think 10, 15% sounds right. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I'm more in the Kareem boat on that one. I think if he's gone, it's a trade or nothing.
Kareem still gives you some money before this podcast? You can't stop
No, because, but I think it's, to me, it's like a trade or, but I don't know if I can go zero. Maybe I'll go five.
So I had a conversation. Now, this was in Richmond. This is a month ago now, nearly. Asked a member of the Redskins front office, hey, do you think Doxson finally has the breakout year? And the reply was, for what team? So now this was, you know, late July. A lot has happened. And it was probably just a flippant, you know, kind of candid remark. But that has stuck with me for a little while.
Well, I would say this, too. There is a split of opinion on that guy in this building. So there's a definite split opinion.
Well, and I wrote about this, and this is one thing that's been annoying, I'm guessing, for John and for myself, is that, like, we've known and talked about these trade discussions with Doxson for a long time, at least 2018 trade deadline and 2018 training camp, and there were some whispers about it as far back as 2017 training camp, and it's fine. Like, it's become news now, and that's certainly well and good, but like just because there are some conversations around it doesn't mean that a trade is imminent or that it's going to happen.
They've tried before and nobody's bit.
Right.
So, and this is his last year. If you were going to get him.
And you can just wait on him.
Correct.
Right. Like,
and if nobody was giving before, now he's had another season of just being totally blah. What are they going to give
and
now?
And he's now in his last year, so whatever you're giving up, it's probably only for that year.
Right.
So is that worth like a, you know, when you probably
I think you're maybe talking sixth, seventh round
picks. I think at best, you know, it would be a sixth round pick. For those reasons.
The only flip side of that is maybe you want to make sure you get him rather than a waiver situation. If you're a team that really likes him.
And that's absolutely, you know, that's absolutely the way it would you'd have to look at it, because you're not. And then the other thing is, like, you trade for him, and if he does sign somewhere else, and maybe you can recoup that as a comp. But
I mean, if he does blow up, you could get a comp pick, you know. But I'm starting to. I don't think that's happening.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
So two splits, six, a pair of sixes, a pair of sevens there.
Yep.
I don't know how you keep track of all this, Pete.
But I put a little slash on my notes.
Okay. O-line. Trent Williams is not on this list.
What's our total numbers again?
So
17 or 16. Yep. You are 16.
17 or 16.
Okay. Kareem and John are 16. Redskins talk boys are 17. Let's go.
Yeah, see, and I've gone back and forth on the 6 and 7. I have to find
the wideouts is really tricky.
It is.
I think it's probably the hardest
one
to figure out.
Totally. And I still think injuries could become a fact. Like Cam Sims is going to play Thursday night. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, some of these dudes are going to be playing. Like Kelvin Harmon's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Robert Davis, you know. Let's hope, among all things, that it doesn't happen. This is a dude who's gotten hurt all the time with the Redskins. Like, he's still coming back from the knee. You know he's going to be out there.
Yeah, he's definitely playing Thursday.
O-line, kind of a mess. Trent Williams is not included in anyone's roster, I assume.
No.
And he's not included in the Red... I don't know if the fans realize this. He's not even on the Redskins roster. He's on the not-reported list. Right. He doesn't count towards the 90-man roster right now. So he's not going to count towards the 53. All right, so I got 9... Penn, Martin, Rouye, Sheriff, Moses, Pierce Baker, Bergstrom, Christian, Flowers.
Yep, I'm there.
I think that was my 9.
It's definitely.
There's not much to it.
Nope.
No.
I think they'd love to keep a 10th, but I don't think they have a 10th worth keeping.
Yeah, and I also think that's where Christian and
Trent
Flowers.
Trent is your 10, if he comes back.
If
I think I think that if Trent comes back, if you don't keep 10, maybe you can put like a Pierce Bakker at that point over on the practice squad if you wanted to. Yeah. And that's
Tony Bertram.
Yeah. Out of that nine men, Pierce Bakker is the odd man out of that nine, correct?
Yeah, probably, but I think they're going to keep him because they don't want to lose him.
Right, and they just drafted him.
Yeah, they just drafted him. So I don't think they'd do that, but you know, you could, I mean, so. Yeah.
You think they'd go Pierce Bakker instead of Bergstrom?
I don't know. No, not for sure. But it's like the only reason I say him is because you can keep him around a practice squad, and then also with a guy like that, would you? Once rosters are set, I don't know if teams are going to be putting him on their roster after the first week or something.
Sure,
I don't, you know. So there,
it
you
would
could
require
look,
an injury and a yeah, guy
yeah, you
could
look at things like that. That it might be easier to put him on there then than it would be now.
So I think we all agree offensively, the O line is the biggest question mark, or maybe receiver still is, but like we're all also in agreement on the number of people and who they are.
I think the question mark is the number that they keep, and with Trent's situation, I think that's why there's more uncertainty there.
Right.
Than
totally.
If you want to say, you know, if you want to compare it to receiver, I still think, but we all, you know, we all just did the exact same nine without blinking an eye.
Right.
And it just depends on how you think Trent will play out, or if they decide to keep another. In addition to Trent, outside of Trent.
Right. I think if Trent was there and they wanted to keep 10, then the receiver discussion comes. Like Pete and I going with 7 correct. On wideouts. It's like, all right, sorry, Robert Davis. And see, you know,
it's funny because for me, that 7th receiver is also dependent on what they do a lot on some spots defensively.
Yeah, I think the outside linebackers and the inside linebackers are going to determine a ton of this.
Absolutely.
So let's go to that. Pete, what are the numbers like on the offensive side of the ball?
So you're either at 26. We are at 26, JP. Those boys are at 25.
Okay. And just for this exercise, everyone understands that the final three, or the first three, screw it, the first three roster spots belong to Nick Sundberg, Dustin Hopkins, and Trestman.
I already have it down.
So they're the specialists.
Notebook.
So everybody, if you're building your roster at home, listening to this,
you're
building 50 spots because there's always going to be three spots for the specialists. Although, did the Vikings just trade
just
for
got
that
the
dude?
Punter kicker
that
could
punt
guy.
And kick? Like, if that emerges as a trend, it would be really kind of interesting
be
to watch.
Hard to do, that,
I
yeah.
think it'd be cool. It's maybe put Nick Sundberg out of business, so not that cool, but find a lineman who you can just trust to be the long snapper and have him be your ninth.
That is a special. All three of those are specialized skills, man.
Yeah.
With millions and millions of dollars on the line.
And the other thing, too, is the way that some.
Didn't say it was smart, just said it would be cool.
The other thing is the way,
you're
some,
looking to save space.
The way some teams incorporate that long snapper into their coverage units, too, and what they ask them to do, because they ask them to do different things in coverage. So if you're asking a kicker long snapper to be in coverage, you don't want to. Really big guy trying to roam around.
Stupid idea, Kareem. I don't know why you brought it up.
And you get that guy gets hurt, and all of a sudden you don't have any kicker or punter.
Defense.
A couple years ago when the Eagles had their like third guy snapping for him, wasn't that Skins Eagles?
That was recently,
I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Or you just need Randall Cunningham, then you don't need a punter.
Yeah. Flutie.
I think I've gone off the rails, but.
Didn't Flutie do a dropkick field goal?
Yeah, that was a Belichick, I think. Hats.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start.
Good call.
D line. So injuries are the tricky part here because there's 5 locks.
I'm going just 5.
You're going 5. Allen, Ioannidis, Payne, Settle, Brantley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think
saving a lot of space here,
well,
kind
but,
of in your budget.
But the reason is because I don't – well, there's one other guy I think could make it.
Is it JoJo? Who's your 6th?
B?
My 6th would be Wicker.
So, Kareem and I,
but I don't think, but Wicker, I don't think they keep 6.
I don't correct. Think so either. You're saying
so.
Ryan B.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He's not quite Donald Parham, but he's a big fella.
He's a big dude. I think that's why I think it's 5 though, because you have to look at, I think it'll be 5 there.
The other,
or if there's a 6, it's someone else's roster.
Sure, and I think that's a huge part of this, particularly at when we get to inside linebacker. But I think with the 5 D linemen, we're locked in. All summer until the only Settle seems to be back. The Caleb Brantley foot injury, you just never know. But I think they go with 5 because, especially D line, man, there's always veterans available. I mean, there are things you can do if you have
that
to.
That 6 will not be active anyways. And
right.
The luxury they have here is they have 5 guys they feel can play.
Right.
That hasn't always been the case.
Sure.
So I think that lessens the desire to keep that 6, and you can put someone on practice squad and then just have them, you know, kind of develop them.
So 5 for all of us.
5 for all of us. OLBs. So this is where things get tricky, because I think normally they'd like to keep 10 linebackers between the outside linebackers and the inside linebackers. I just don't know that they have 10.
I'm not sure they have 9.
Dude, so on both groups, there are 4 locks. Outside linebackers, Kerrigan, Sweat, Ryan Anderson, Casanova, right?
Oh, yes. Casanova.
Oh, Lord.
Inside linebackers.
You will not hear me doing that.
You're welcome to, anytime.
No. I'm not a Kerrigan.
It was a lot less cool when Pete did it. Doing it at the same time was not planned and not cool.
I actually like that.
If JP was not a certified karaoke judge, I might do it.
Yeah, man, I should have my card by Friday. Inside linebackers, Sean Dion Hamilton, Bostic, Harvey Clemens, Holcomb.
Yep.
So there's 8. Lock it in. Yep. Sharpie. What the hell happens after that?
No idea. Yeah.
Veteran linebacker X?
I think if you keep guys from this roster, I think the two you'd look at would be inside, and it would be Flowers or Blunt.
Right.
And I think it'd be Flowers, just special teams and stuff. And
yeah. I think Blunt has made a few more plays, but I think he's had a number of situations where he's not in position.
Yeah.
And I think
he even missed a little bit of time too, didn't he?
Yeah, he missed.
He was banged up early in training camp.
The other thing we didn't talk about is Jordan Brailford. They're going to have to go IR there. I mean, Jay said he's weeks away.
So if
Brailford was healthy, I think he would be
absolutely
a guy I put on.
Sure,
but
because there's no other guy to put on.
I'm glad you brought him, because that's why I don't have him on.
So are we going not? So 4 OLBs, 5 ILBs with Flowers or Blunt. I think we all lean Flowers, even though Blunt is a cooler name and object.
Dude.
Sure, I would be flipping a coin there.
Well, and honestly, I think Thursday night would matter for that.
Hopefully that's not how they're picking.
Right. That's his Flowers tail, Blunt.
What we've seen is, I mean, Blunt had, both those guys had picks in Richmond. Have either of them made an impact play in a preseason game? Because here's what I feel like is, Josh Harvey Clemens, is it 2 years ago now in Tampa? Remember that fourth preseason game? Yeah. Is like when he like showed like, oh,
he had a pick 6.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this 9th linebacker is competing with a possible 7th receiver.
Agreed.
Yeah,
and I think that 9th linebacker is competing with linebackers all over the NFL going to get cut.
Absolutely, and I think this is where it gets interesting, because I know typically you like to go 25-25-3 like we were just talking about.
Right.
They have gone 26-24-3 a couple times. Now, sometimes you're doing that early on right away because of injuries and the way the roster sets up for week one, but, you know, that's...
So let's go 9 there, and we'll call it Flowers.
Yeah, less cool name/object, I agree.
So now we are at 14 on defense?
Correct.
Do you want to do the secondary bunch together or break it down
right
corners?
Now.
You want to do safeties?
Yeah. Safeties feels pretty safe, I would think.
Safeties, there are 4 of them that are on the team. Collins, Monte, Troy Apke, and DeShazer Everett.
Yep.
Trapke, right? No chance of being cut this time around?
Nope.
I don't think so, but I think there is starting to become more concern about him than there was previously. And I think Reeves might be the guy who's trying to get into the conversation. Yeah. Might be that 5th guy that we're talking about.
I like him.
Reeves' name has popped up in all of my projections.
Reeves has played better than Apke.
Sure.
I think he has a knack for the position better. Apke's the better, faster athlete.
And
pure
he's
athlete.
The 4th-round draft pick from a year ago.
And there's draft capital there.
And the funny thing is, I thought Apke early on looked better. I even tweeted, he looked better than last year. And then I think people mistake that for he looks like an all-pro, because he didn't look like an all-pro. He looked better than he did last year. That's it.
Because last year he looked bad.
He did look bad. Right. He looked really bad. And they, you know, but I like Reeves, and I like the way he comes up and tackles consistently, and he, you know, plays with a little bit of physicality.
And Reeves, you could probably get to your practice squad. I think he was
possibly.
I think he was on the roster for 2 games last year.
I think he probably could. And like the thing with Apke is sticking around. He's got the speed, and if you can try and develop that speed, even as a special teamer backup, then they'll do that. But
I don't know that they can keep 5 safeties though, because
I don't think they might have to
keep 7 corners.
DBs crowd or corners crowd.
Corners very.
Right, so let's run through the corners then. I think 6 of these guys are locks, and then it comes down to what are you doing with Adonis?
Mm-hmm.
So Norman Dunbar Moreau, DRC, Jimmy Moreland, Greg Stroman is what I have.
Yeah.
I think it also is important that Fabian Moreau's medicals came back that he's clear, and he should
not
be,
that he's clear, but no surgery.
No surgery, which means it's just an ankle sprain.
But they think he can be ready for week one, which is very important, because if he wasn't, then
if it was surgery and 5 weeks, then he's going on the IR.
And even missing 1 week, I think because you have DRC and his versatility, then you're okay. So it would have been it would have had to have been a multiple week injury for them, I think, to make a different sort of roster decision.
Are there any disagreements among those six on the roster?
Not at all.
All right. The question then, and it's similar to wideout, is do they go six or seven?
Well, this is where you guys have the
Go six. I think they go six corners.
And try to get Adonis to the practice squad?
Yeah, and I would keep Reeves over in that situation. It's six and five.
So you can go 11. There's space DBs. For 11 here.
There's space for 11, so you can go 11.
I think, Kyle, you have to spend a spot, though.
And we're all saying Danny Johnson starts on PUP.
I think your roster comes up with player short.
We're taking him out of it.
Well, if I would...
He hasn't played. He hasn't practiced.
We have 18 on defense right now, and you guys had 25. So you need seven corners.
No. I have... It would be five... Five linemen, nine linebackers, 14, and then if you went,
he's
you
keeping
went
Reeves.
11 DBs.
Then you kept Reeves?
Yeah. Oh,
well, that was the difference. He had five.
I see.
Yeah, he had five.
Next time I'll talk louder so while you're sitting 2 feet away from
right.
me.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out how Troy Apke still is on the team.
I'm
so confused by that.
You're supposed to be the one that's good at math, Pete.
I'm not labeling who's slashing where.
I'm not
sorry.
Matt Paris. I'm not mumbling, am I?
No, you're not trailing off last year.
So, are you going... I don't know how, like, I think the concern over, will we lose Adonis? I don't think that's really a concern.
No.
Like, I don't think the rest of the league is drooling over getting that guy.
What is he? He hasn't shown anything to suggest that
it's just the physical presence. It's just what he looks like.
Absolutely. And the fact that I think a lot of those other corners, you're talking about Stroman, you're talking about Jimmy Moreland, and I'm still expecting Danny Johnson to be in the mix at some point. You know,
maybe practicing. Right?
Yeah. But at some point down the line, those are guys that are in stature very similar.
Yeah.
And so would you not like to have a lot more long-rangey guy? Probably so, but what if that long rangey guy just is clearly not making the same plays as those other three?
Not making plays, and you know, then it sometimes comes down to your approach too. And I think there was some disappointment in that regard last year. So I think it sounds like it's improved, but I think starting off hurt didn't help him because from everything I heard, he had a pretty good off season as far as working out and all that. I think there was a level of excitement before it, then he got the injury and all that. I think that cooled things. So I think you could probably try and sneak him on there. The only question is, though, with him, is what did other teams think about him being that supplemental draft? Would they have been willing to spend a six-round pick on him? If so, you probably still go get him if he's out there. But then does that really bother them? And I don't know if it would at this point. You know, but he has that potential to be versatile because of the length that, like, if he were...
He's a big, strong dude.
He's a big
dude,
guy.
Too,
Physically, he looked good.
He looks the part.
Read Moneyball or seen the movie?
Yes.
Like, the first chapter is about how Billy Beane got drafted, why he got drafted, because he looked the part. And that's, like, how scouting was based for so long. It's just,
we can work with this guy.
Really good swing. He's big. He's strong. That's how quarterbacks got drafted forever.
That's why I'm surprised I wasn't picked.
You're smoked to me. So...
You can't teach 6'3".
Yeah. Right.
You take the risk with Adonis, see if you get him on the practice squad, and if not, then you don't lose much sleep over it.
So we're all at six corners, I think, and the question really is Reeves at safety.
I think the question is Reeves or Alexander, right?
Well, for you, yes.
Or for maybe me, as far as my numbers go.
For Pete and I think it's Reeves or Robert Davis.
Yeah, I'd rather have Robert Davis.
I'm kind of recalibrating this in my mind.
And I'm okay with that.
I think your 49th roster spot is going to be Jeremy Reeves or Robert Davis.
Yeah,
and playing this out in my head, is Robert Davis markedly better than Kelvin Harmon or Cam Sims? He's had a really good preseason. He's been strong. But I think Jeremy Reeves is markedly better than Troy Apke. And you could... Like, if you have these five safeties on your roster, Collins, Nicholson, Apke, Everett, Reeves, who's inactive week one? Apke.
Well, I know it's not going to work this way, but that's why you just get rid of Apke. But
I don't know if that's the case because they want him on special
teams. Right, and they want both of those guys on special teams. So your inactives come elsewhere.
But I think that's where the
point is, Davis could be inactive even with the receiver group.
Sure.
Yes.
Which is just kind of interesting.
Yeah. But the funny thing
but he's also looked really good.
But but we also, with Davis, we keep saying, like, for special teams, but if you're an active, you're special teams.
And right.
So somebody in that group is going to have to play special teams. And that's
what are the chances? This is a wacky, so forgive me. But play this out week five. Everybody's still healthy. You're getting production from McLaurin. You're getting production from Quinn is playing. He's healthy. Harmon, you like on possession spots. Like, could Doxson ever be the inactive wideout? Because he's not going to play specials for you? And the rest of those guys all really have a role? Paul's your speed guy. Trey Quinn's returning punts. And then McLaurin, Harmon, Cam Sims, you want in the offense?
I mean, I think those three would have to be those first four weeks, right?
I just don't see Harmon outplaying Doxson at least early.
Yeah. Well, they also play different spots, too, so that's one thing. But if you get to the point where you want to make him active, you cut him.
Yeah.
Cut him. Because he's not going to serve a purpose at that point. So
unless you just kind of preparing for injuries or, you know, like just trying to.
Yeah, but I think at that point, I'm just like, I don't know what.
Some point you cut
Bane. Everything else in the atmosphere, not necessarily what's happening there.
You know how much they don't want to deal with how does that, if he's active?
Yeah, right. how does that affect the locker room and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I would just, at that point, just cut him.
Doxson's so interesting because Keenum after the game in Atlanta and who was Paul Richardson yesterday, he makes so many plays. He's got such great body control, but we never see it. The players seem to really believe and love what he can do.
Josh Doxson.
Yeah, but we just have not seen it ever.
But that's...
Never had a 100-yard game in the pros. 3 years.
Six catches is his career high for a game.
It's crazy.
Barf.
This has been a fun exercise. Anything to add? I feel like we kind of covered it forwards and backwards.
I'm guessing they're having the same discussion over there. I just wonder if they're taping it.
They'll listen. Hey, everybody at Redskins Park, make sure you separately download and don't just listen to it together.
And follow Redskins Talk Pod on Instagram and leave a review on Apple iTunes.
Well, think Bruce camera follows us on Instagram? Is there a camera in this room? One of those little teddy bear cameras?
Yeah. Like the CIA camera in here? We are in a very undisclosed location, by the way.
The nanny cam.
Thank you, gentlemen. Kareem, where do they find you on Twitter?
At Kareem Copeland, and you can find us at the Washington Post.
Pretty easy.
Heard of that. Kime, tell them about the podcast.
The John Kime Report. Just had one this week with Matthew Berry. I know he was on your show. We talked about
Fun, dude.
Jay-Z. He talked about going to Jay-Z's house.
That dude has stories.
Here's the thing on that story. He even buries, like, he's talking about all these different stories. Like, oh, yeah, I got to tell you about the time when I went to Jay-Z's house. Like, that was, like, way, I was like, how do you not?
I would leave with that conversation for the rest of my life.
I'd wear a t-shirt, like, I went to Jay-Z's house.
I'm Peter, and I went to Jay-Z's house.
Yeah, I mean.
That wouldn't be like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, and so, but anyways, he's a great guest, and so that was this week. And
a lot of people like your pod. I see a lot of comments on Twitter about it.
All right.
I have a lot of burner accounts.
Thank you for listening. You made this far. I owe you a beer. Bullish Mitch. All right, we got to go. Anybody, Chef, you want to say thank you to the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia?
Oh, yeah, thank you, Oarsman Automotive. Thank you for everything y'all doing out there. I need a car, too.
So do I.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.